Good morning, everyone. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of John. We're going to be looking at John chapter 16. Starting from verse 7 all the way to 15. Hopefully you guys were able to come out yesterday to H Games. Congratulations to Fire
Hazard!
There we go. Actually, before we get into this, just a reminder that we are continuing in our memorization of Ephesians 1. And for this upcoming week, it's going to be Ephesians 1, 15 through 18. And so, hopefully we'll be able to do this even as a live group. And I've already spoken with some of you who are not only trying to memorize the Word of God, but as you guys are doing it, really discovering the work of God's word in our lives, and I pray that it'll continue to make an impact on us. And so I want to continue to encourage us, yes, even though H Games is over and we're not competing, we're not trying to memorize God's word to win a specific game, but we're letting the word of God transform our lives. So really want to encourage us to continue on in this, okay? And even as our sister Solana announced that we are starting off, or we are kicking off our missions month today. And so during the fall, usually we take about 3 weeks or so as a church to really focus on missions. And so we've done this in different ways. So in some years, we've actually taken time during Sundays to preach specifically about missions and so forth. But during our Sunday celebration, we're going to continue on in our Apostles' Creed series, which I think is tied into God's heart for missions, and so we'll be able to see this. But then also, for this upcoming year, we're going to take the Fridays to specifically hone in on really thinking about missions and why it's so important to us and why missions matter. And so this upcoming Friday, we're going to be gathering together. We're going to talk about missions. For some of you, this is going to be brand new. In terms of really understanding world missions, understanding unreached people groups, and so we'll go through all that, but then we want to pray for just even ourselves and pray that God will give us his heart and his mind so that we can understand why missions is important for us, because it is really Jesus' commission for us, right? The Great Commission, there's two things, especially for our students, that as you guys go through your undergrad years with us and as you guys graduate, two things that I want you to remember. The Great Commandment, which is to love the Lord your God and to love others. And the Great Commission, which is to go and to make disciples of all nations. And so the Great Commission is the last thing that Jesus tells his disciples in Matthew 28. He says to go and make disciples of all nations. And then he says to baptize them. And then he says to teach them. So when you think about this Great Commission, the question isn't this question of, is God calling me to participate in the Great Commission by taking the gospel to those who have yet to hear the name of Jesus? I think for, especially when I was younger, I think that was the question that I wrestled with. I understood what the Great Commission is, but then now the question is God really calling me to participate in this Great Commission? Because I don't know if God's really necessarily calling me to go overseas or to move to a different country and so forth. But when you think about the Great Commission, that's not the relevant question. Because Jesus makes it very clear that the Great Commission is for all of his disciples. That it's not just for some, but it's for all. And so if Jesus' calling for us is as the church, regardless of whether you're a high school student, regardless of whether you're a college student, regardless of whether you're a single working adult, regardless of whether you're a married couple, the Great Commission for all of our lives is to go and to make disciples of all nations. And the question is not, am I called to participate in the Great Commission or not, but the question is, what is going to be my role in the Great Commission? Right? What is going to be my role in making the name of Jesus known to peoples of all the earth? And that's why today's confession, as we continue on in our Apostles' Creed series, I believe in the Holy Spirit. That confession is so important. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Because in many ways, I think when you think about the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives, In many ways, we think about the Holy Spirit being the comforter. We think about the Holy Spirit being our help. We think about the Holy Spirit being an experience, right? You go to a retreat or you go to like a worship concert and you're emotionally moved and you think about, okay, the Spirit of God is here and He's at work in our lives. And to a certain extent, yes, all those things are true. But we know that the role of the Holy Spirit is so much more, because it's the Holy Spirit of God that empowers us by launching us forward in Jesus' mission to save the lost. Because even as Jesus declares in Acts 1:8, and we talked about this last Sunday, about His ascension, but right before His ascension, this is what He declares, "And you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be My witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." He says when the Holy Spirit comes, the Holy Spirit is going to empower you. Empower you for what? Not just for comfort. Empower you not just so that you feel good about your Christian life, but empower you so that you will be My witnesses, right? And so in many ways, I feel like there needs to be a shift that takes place in our minds, in our understanding of who the Holy Spirit is. And so I kind of have I know that this might be a silly analogy, but I decided to use a visual display. So this is, I didn't tell my youngest, this is his, I didn't tell him that I was going to bring this to church, so this is one of his Squishmallows. I mean, it's cute, right? And he always carries it around because it's very comforting. And so in many ways, I think this is how we think about who the Holy Spirit is, right? He's like comforting, He's caring. When we need something, like, I don't know, we need answers, we're driving around and we need to find parking lot and we're praying, Holy Spirit, you know, open up a space for me to park my car. Like, this is how we think about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is there to comfort us, to make us feel good. Emotionally and so forth, which is true, because in many ways the Holy Spirit is called a comforter. But we know that the Holy Spirit is so much more than that, right? Because He's not here just to make our lives more comfortable. He's not here just to make our lives easier, but He's here to empower us. And so how does He do that? Well, I have a... All right, before you freak out, this is not body armor, right? If you guys are thinking in that, this is actually my weighted vest. I think CrossFit people use this, right? And so you strap it on. I'm not going to strap it on because I'm going to look silly. But there's a 10-pound plate. So when you're working out, this is extra 20 pounds you're carrying. And so sometimes I'll use this. I try to convince my wife to use it. Here, I'll leave it right here when you're working out, because, you know, like, the benefits of carrying 20 extra pounds on you when you're working out, it multiplies the effect, right? And so sometimes when we're using kettlebells, doing burpees, sometimes when we use treadmills, sometimes I'll even wear this when I take my dog out for a walk, because if you wear 20 pounds on you, and if you go for, like, a good 3-mile walk, by the time you come back, your legs are so sore. Right? Because it multiplies that effort. And so when you try to strap this on, it's a pain, because as soon as you put it on, you feel that weight right away. It's like 20 pounds that you don't necessarily need to have. But it's that 20 pounds that trains you. It fortifies you. And so in many ways, I think this is actually a better illustration of the Holy Spirit than this. Because the Holy Spirit of God empowers us to live out the realities of who Christ is in our lives. And sometimes that means that the way that the Holy Spirit is at work in our lives, it's not going to be the most pleasant, right? Sometimes you're going to feel like, and after service, if you want to come and see how heavy this is actually pretty heavy, right? Like, you have this and you're walking around, it's not the most comfortable thing. And after your workout, you're going to feel even more tired. But if you use this long enough, you'll discover that the first time you try 20 burpees, oh, it's pretty hard. But then if you keep going, next thing you know it, you feel your legs getting stronger. You feel your endurance becoming stronger. And I think in many ways, this is how the Holy Spirit works. The Holy Spirit of God empowers us. For what? For the specific purpose of accomplishing Jesus' mission in our lives. Now, I know that this topic of the Holy Spirit, it's a big topic. When I was in seminary, it took us about half of a semester to just go through this topic of studying the Holy Spirit. But I have, I think, like 10 minutes. And so I was thinking about, how do I do this? Because one of the things that I do want to do at the end is to create some space for us to let the Spirit of God do his ministry in our lives. Because I was just thinking it would be so tragic for us to talk about the Holy Spirit, yet not create any room for the Spirit of God to do the ministry that he desires in our lives. And so I was thinking about, how do I do this? And I think we're just going to focus on John 16 and what we see here. And I know that you can turn to many different verses, but this is actually Jesus' words and what Jesus says about who the Holy Spirit is, right? So with that in mind, let's go ahead and read this together. John 16, verses 7 through 15. John 16, 7 through 15. This is the word of God. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. And if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine, therefore I said that he will take what is mine and declare to you. Now, if you're interested in this topic, there's a book that I would recommend. It's called The Forgotten God. It's written by Pastor Francis Chan. It's really a fantastic book because not only does he go into the theology of the Holy Spirit, but he actually writes in a way, you know, if you've ever heard his sermons, it's very relatable, and that's exactly how he writes. Once again, if you're interested, it's called The Forgotten God. And so in this book, he talks about how, imagine if you never grew up in the church, like you didn't go to youth group, I don't know, like you didn't grow up in the church, but you started reading the Bible just on your own. And then when you come to think about how even in the Old Testament, the Spirit of God is at work, especially through the prophets and so forth. And then when you come to the New Testament, you see the work of Jesus and what he does, and you see how even Jesus himself was dependent on the Spirit. And then when you come to the book of Acts, when Jesus is about to be ascended back to heaven, and then he promises the Holy Spirit to his disciples. And then as you continue to read through the book of Acts, because the book of Acts, it's, you know, like we think about the book of Acts in terms of the Acts of the Apostles, but it's actually more closely related to the Acts of the Holy Spirit, right? And so as you begin to read through the book of Acts and you see the work of the Holy Spirit, that you would come to this conclusion that the Holy Spirit of God plays a very significant role in our lives. I mean, you would not be able to conclude otherwise, especially when you look into the lives of these early believers and disciples and how they lived and how they were empowered and how they were led by the Holy Spirit of God. Because that's what Jesus promised, and we read in Acts 1, that when the Holy Spirit of God comes upon you, that he will empower you. So the Holy Spirit, he unleashes his power. And then when you see the effects of his power being unleashed in the testimony of these believers, It's nothing that you've ever seen or heard. And that's why all the people who experienced the acts of the Holy Spirit through these early disciples, they were amazed. They were amazed at what God was able to do in the lives of these disciples. And then he goes on, and this is what he says. He says, if you read and believe these accounts, we would expect a great deal of the Holy Spirit. He would not be a mostly forgotten member of the Godhead whom we occasionally give a nod of recognition to, which is what he has become in most American churches. We would expect our new life with the Holy Spirit to look radically different from our old life without him. Yet this is not the way it is for most people. We don't live this way. For some reason, we don't think we need the Holy Spirit. We don't expect the Holy Spirit to act, unquote. And I think what Pastor Francis Chan says, I think in many ways, it describes many of us, including myself. That even though we know the Holy Spirit, especially if you've been coming to church for a while, there's many books that's written on the Holy Spirit. But when you think about how we actually live our lives, and when he says that for most people, we don't live this way, I would venture to say that that's true. That many of us, we don't necessarily live this way. We don't necessarily think that the Holy Spirit is going to speak. We don't necessarily think that the Holy Spirit is going to act. And I think in his book, this is the line that stood out to me the most. He goes on and he says, given our talent set, experience, and education, many of us are fairly capable of living rather successfully according to world standards without any strength from the Holy Spirit, unquote. And maybe this is why there really isn't this intuitive need in our lives for the Holy Spirit, because for the most part, many of us can live very successful lives without really thinking about who the Holy Spirit is, without turning to the Holy Spirit, and without needing the Holy Spirit to work. When you think about your studies, when you think about your work, when you think about relationships, in many ways we are successful. But we need the Holy Spirit. Jesus makes it very clear that we need the Holy Spirit. And he actually says, this is incredible. It's better that he goes and the Holy Spirit comes for us rather than he stays. Because it is the work of the Holy Spirit now that leads us deeper and deeper into this knowledge of who Christ is and ultimately to live our lives in obedience. And so what we need is not just more understanding and knowledge of the Holy Spirit, because the reality is, when you think about these early disciples, there was no Amazon where they could, you know, type in books on the Holy Spirit, and then it comes to their Kindle book, right? And they read through it, and they're like, aha, I understand who or what the Holy Spirit is. But they lived in the reality. They knew the Holy Spirit intimately. And they experience his power at work in their lives, and that's what we need. And so as we look into this verse, there's just two simple observations that I want to make. And then after that, we'll go into some time of ministry, okay? So the first observation I want to talk about is, so who is the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit? In verse 7, Jesus says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is for your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you. Jesus promises to send the Helper, or another translation there is the Advocate. The Helper or the Advocate, right? And so we see this even in Acts 1, right before he's ascended to heaven, he reiterates this promise that the Holy Spirit will come. And so this is how we understand the personhood of the Holy Spirit. First of all, Holy Spirit is God. And we talked about this before in Acts 5, when Peter is confronting Ananias, and when Ananias lied to the Holy Spirit, in Acts 5, 4b, he says, you have not lied to man, but to God. The Bible makes it very clear that the Holy Spirit of God is God.
which means he is eternal, he is holy, he is omniscient, he is omnipresent, that he is all-knowing, he has existed since the beginning with God the Father and God the Son. The Holy Spirit is God. And not only is the Holy Spirit God, but Holy Spirit is also a person. Right? This is so important for us to understand because I think in the church, we often think about the Holy Spirit in the context of, and I say this all the time, either an experience, right? Like you go to a special church thing and you have like this wonderful experience and then you equate the Holy Spirit to that experience. So whenever you don't have these experiences, you think to yourself, oh, maybe the Holy Spirit's not moving. Or some sort of a force. Like you can't really describe it, but it's kind of like it's all around us, it's within us, right? You go into a little bit of that Yoda mindset, right? Like, use the force, Luke, the force of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not a force or an experience, but Jesus makes it very clear that the Holy Spirit is a person. John 14:16, I will ask the Father and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. It's interesting that Jesus says that he is another helper. In other words, he's saying he's another helper just like me. He's just like me. And that he is a helper like me. He is a person. Which means everything that we think about what it means to be a person is also equated with the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit has a will. Holy Spirit has emotions. He invites us to know him in a personal way. And that's why Paul declares in Ephesians 4:30, he says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Right? You can actually grieve the Holy Spirit of God. He has emotions. Holy Spirit is God, Holy Spirit is person, and Holy Spirit acts to accomplish his purpose. Right? Holy Spirit has a will, and he acts to accomplish that will and that purpose. For example, in Acts 13:2, we see the story of the disciples. This is the beginning of the missionary work. And we're told while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. It's the Holy Spirit that spoke to them. It's the Holy Spirit that said, set them apart because I have a specific work. Which means that Holy Spirit of God invites us to know him in a personal way. He speaks to us, and the Holy Spirit of God reveals his will and his purpose for our lives. So if this is who we understand the Holy Spirit to be, then what is the ministry of the Holy Spirit? So not only the person of the Holy Spirit, but the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And so we want to close with this. Look at verse 8. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. And then jump down to verse 13. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. And, you know, there's many things that we can talk about, but there's two things that jump out at us right away. First is this, that the Holy Spirit empowers us towards holiness. So you think about the work of the Holy Spirit or the ministry of the Holy Spirit. How is the Spirit of God at work in our lives? Well, he's always empowering us. For what? Towards holiness. Right? Jesus makes it very clear that when the Holy Spirit comes, he will bring about conviction. What specific types of conviction? About sin, about righteousness, and about judgment. So it's this conviction in realizing, I mean, essentially that's the gospel, right? That we are sinners before God. The righteousness comes as we place our faith and hope in the death and the resurrection of Christ. And we can live in hope of the judgment of God that is to come. That will make everything that is wrong with this world, with ourselves, and he'll make it right once again. And so it's the Spirit of God that empowers us, not just to so that you can get over your circumstance. Right? Not just so that you can make the right decisions, but ultimately it's moving you towards holiness. And that's why, you know, sometimes when you interact with the Holy Spirit, sometimes it's frustrating because you're praying for one thing, and then all of a sudden the Holy Spirit says something else, and you're thinking to yourself, why? Like, God, why are you not opening these doors that I feel like is the best for me, but then why are you opening these doors where I don't necessarily want to go through them? And it's because his aim for us is different. Because his aim for us is what? The Holy Spirit of God is always moving us towards holiness. That he will convict us about the reality of sin and fallenness in our lives. And he will convict us about the righteousness, once again, that we find in Christ. And it's ultimately talking about this new life that we can experience in God. The Spirit of God brings new life to his people. He dwells within us. Jesus talks about how the Spirit of God transforms our hearts, how the Spirit of God opens up our hearts so that we can be responsive to the presence, the Spirit, and the Word of God. He works to bring about renewal in our lives. Titus 3:3-7, it talks about how we are saved through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. So Holy Spirit empowers us towards holiness, which means that work of holiness, it's not easy and it's not pleasant, right? Think about how the Spirit of God convicts us of sin. Because oftentimes we think about sin in the context of what we do wrong versus what we don't do right. But when you think about the reality of sin, sin is so much deeper. And the ministry of the Holy Spirit is always uncomfortable because he's willing to go into these areas and these arenas of our lives where we're very guarded. Right? We don't necessarily want to be exposed in these things because there's a lot of guilt and shame that's associated with it. Or we don't necessarily want to be exposed because there's a lot of pride that's associated with it. But he does that work of sanitizing even the darkest corners of our hearts and our lives. And that's why when I was younger, you know, I used to hear older people say, as you get older and older, and as you walk with Christ longer and longer, the more and more you realize just how fallen you are. And to me, that really never made sense because I figure, if you do something for a while, you should get better at it, right? So the more you walk with Christ, shouldn't it be the fact that you're becoming more and more like him, which means that you're holier and holier, sin gets a little bit easier and easier to fight? But as I've gotten a little bit older, just a little bit older now, I realize that that's true because the longer you walk with Christ, and the more that the Holy Spirit of God is at work in your life, you just realize that, man, my life is really messed up. I mean, it's really messed up. There's some, like, dark stuff in there that you would be afraid to admit to yourself. But the Holy Spirit, he cares enough for us to say, you know what? Let's go there. And we're like, no, let's not go there. But he says, no, let's go there so that I can shine the light of holiness in you. Not only does he empower us towards holiness, but he also challenges us in obedience. Jesus reminds us that when the Spirit of God comes, he's a spirit of truth, right? That he will guide us into all the truth. And that he does not speak on his own, but whatever he hears, he speaks. That the Spirit of God is at work ultimately to glorify Christ. That the Holy Spirit challenges us in obedience. First of all, the Spirit of God, he teaches us to know and to obey God's words. And that's why if you want to know what the Spirit of God sounds like, because the reality is that the Word of God makes it very clear that the Holy Spirit speaks. So how do we know what his voice sounds like? Well, his voice sounds like the Word of God. I was going to show this video, but it would have taken too long. I don't know if you've, I think it's a BBC video where Adele, she goes she disguises herself, right? And then there's a set of other performers who are Adele lookalikes. And so they're all lined up and they're singing one of her songs, and at the end she comes up and she's in disguise. And then she begins singing, and one by one the contestants, like, you could see their eyes like opening up, because on the outside it doesn't really look like Adele, but then the voice is exactly like hers, and they realize that that actually is Adele. And so how did they know that? Well, they knew that because they were really familiar with her voice, right? They knew all her music. They listened to her all the time. And so even when on the outside, the person didn't really look like Adele, when she started singing, they could tell, man, that's Adele's voice. And that's how we know the voice of the Holy Spirit. Because the voice of the Holy Spirit sounds like the Word of God. And so if you spend enough time in the Word of God, you'll realize that's how the Holy Spirit of God will speak. He challenges us to live our lives in obedience, to know and to obey the Word of God. And that sounds simple enough, right? We read the Bible and we obey, but it goes so much deeper. Like, one of the things that, and I've been sharing this a lot, one of the things that I've been wrestling with lately is really thinking about what it means when Jesus says to carry the cross and to follow after him. And in my younger days, I always thought about carrying the cross in terms of denying myself. So I say no to those things that I really want to do, right? I want to, I don't know, like go on a vacation somewhere or buy this thing for myself. But I'm like, no, because I need to carry the cross. I need to deny myself. Like, I want to, I don't know, eat at Wendy's. I'm like, no, I need to carry the cross. But I realize that carrying the cross isn't just about saying no to the things that you want in your life. As I've gotten a little bit older, I realize part of what it means to carry the cross is also saying yes to sometimes pain in your life. Because part of carrying the cross means that you have to be willing to forgive people who might have wronged you, and they're not necessarily asking for your forgiveness. Part of carrying the cross means that we're saying yes to the pain and the suffering that this life introduces. But we understand that we can do that because Jesus carried the cross on our behalf. The Holy Spirit challenges us live in obedience. And then lastly, the Holy Spirit points people to Jesus. The Holy Spirit points people to Jesus. It's interesting how the Holy Spirit, he doesn't work to glorify himself. That's why when we come to church, it's not just about the Holy Spirit, but Jesus makes it very clear that the Holy Spirit is at work to what? To glorify him. And we don't know exactly how this dynamic works. But within the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit works to glorify God the Son. In other words, it's the Holy Spirit of work, even as the Spirit of God is at work in our lives, that it not only helps us to point our lives to Jesus, but when the Holy Spirit of God is at work in our lives, it causes us to help others to point to Jesus. That the Holy Spirit points people back to Jesus. And that's how you know whether the Holy Spirit of God is at work in our lives or not. It's not just about the emotions. It's not just about the experience. But in your life, are there fruits where you see your life being pointed back to Jesus? Now, that doesn't mean that your life is perfect. That doesn't mean that even your faith is perfect. But it means that you're willing to cling on to Jesus. And then also through your life, are you pointing others to Jesus? The Holy Spirit empowers us towards holiness. The Holy Spirit challenges us in obedience, and the Holy Spirit points people back to Jesus. Okay? Now, we're going to close out. And this is what I want us to do, because I didn't give us the one thing. Usually when we read the passage, I give you the one thing, and so if you're wondering, oh, where's the one thing? Well, here it comes. The reason why I didn't want to give us the one thing is because I want that conviction not to come from what I'm convicted from this passage, but I want that one thing for you to come from the Holy Spirit today. Because if this is true, what Jesus says of who the Holy Spirit of is and how he desires to work, then I have to believe by faith that even now, as you're listening to this, the Holy Spirit is at work in your life. And it's not dependent on how much rest you got last night or not. It's not dependent on even your emotions. It's not dependent on even where you are in your faith journey. And so this is what I'm going to invite us to do. I just feel like even as we've talked about, I believe in the Holy Spirit. We want to create space for the Spirit of God to be at work in our hearts and in our lives, right? And so can I just invite us, can you go ahead and, if you don't feel too uncomfortable, can I just invite us to close your eyes? Like I always say, there's nothing wrong, or there's nothing magic about closing our eyes, but it just helps us to be a little bit more focused. And even as your eyes are closed, I want you to start praying. Right? We heard Jesus' words about who the Holy Spirit is, the helper, the advocate, Holy Spirit being God, Holy Spirit being a person, Holy Spirit who leads us into his will and his purpose, and how the Holy Spirit is at work in our lives, empowering us towards holiness, leading us in obedience, pointing us to the reality of Christ. I want you to ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, what is that one thing for me today? What is it you are inviting me to remember once again? Or maybe what is that new revelation that you're wanting to bring about and where I am in my life and in my relationship with you? Maybe for some of us, it is in the areas of holiness and righteousness and dealing with areas of sin and disobedience in our lives. Maybe some of us, it is in the areas of obedience to his word, reminding us of the presence of God that is at work even in our lives. And the Spirit of God challenging us, even in the midst of the busyness and the struggles, to create space in our lives for the Spirit of God to work and to speak. And maybe some of us, it is in that area of the Spirit of God reminding us of who Jesus is, because the thing that we're struggling with is really in our faith of understanding Christ and his work in our lives. Maybe we're struggling with understanding our identity in Christ. Maybe it's that assurance of faith. Maybe it's that confidence in our relationship with God the Father. Maybe it's understanding his love for us as his sons and his daughters. And maybe the Spirit of God is wanting to remind you. And he's pointing you once again to Christ. Maybe for some of you, it's just your life. You're living in a way where it's very self-centered. That it's about you, it's about your studies, it's about your work, it's about your free time, it's about your security, it's about your comfort. And Jesus is saying, no, no, no. It's the Spirit that empowers you to tell others about me. Whatever it may be, I want to ask you to spend some time. Holy Spirit, what is that one thing for me today? If I truly confess, I believe in the Holy Spirit. Spirit of God, how are you at work right now in my heart and my life? I just invite us for the, I don't know, for the next couple of minutes, if you want to sit in silence and meditate, if you want to pray loud enough so that you can hear yourself, I want you to do that. But I want you to ask the Holy Spirit of God, Spirit of God, what is that one thing for me today? And instead of me telling you what that one thing is, I want you to hear from the voice of the Holy Spirit. Because right now, even as we're sitting in this place, He's at work, empowering you, building you up. Sometimes at work, it's not the most comfortable, it's challenging, pushes us to step outside of our comfort zones, stretches us in our obedience. Building you up. So ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit of God, how are you at work in building me up today? Let me hear your voice. So can we do that for a little bit, church? Let's come before the presence of the Holy Spirit and ask Him, Holy Spirit, what is that one thing for me today? All right, let's do that together, church.